Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in about 15 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day. Also, a reminder, a little bit later on in the show, 1 o'clock hour, Fan Club Friday. Of our friend Jeremy Danner stopped by, longtime Royals fan. Also, I'll be honest, when he joins us in the 1 o'clock hour, usually he brings a cooler full of beverages, which is a good thing on this Friday.
Heading into a weekend, and yeah, for this Friday in particular. I might need it after I take my kids to maybe terrify themselves. Yeah. They kind of like scary stuff. They just watched the original Beetlejuice.
Okay.
And they were into it. So, you know.
In person, though. A little bit different. Let me know how it goes.
They were into some like some scary stuff on like smiling critters and stuff for a little while. Like they would watch those like videos on like YouTube Kids or whatever. Did anybody know those? Maybe those. They like a little bit of scary stuff. This is gonna go horribly if we go, isn't it? It's gonna go really bad. I'm gonna regret this if I go.
Text line warned you potentially what could happen. So have fun. Enjoy it. Report back on Monday, maybe can you record a little audio? Are they allowed to? Is that frowned upon? Can you record some audio?
I mean, video frowned upon,
or like
for
sure, a post trip interview with your kids. Yeah,
so we can have it for Monday.
Yeah, like, hey, what did you guys think?
And they're just quivering in fear.
Please. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk a little Chiefs football, though, with our guy, our Chiefs contributor, Joshua Briscoe from Chiefs on SI. He's the editor over there, does a great job covering the Chiefs. It's a bye week, Josh, but 5-0, man, considering the injuries, considering that we all know they're not playing their best football, even if I think they put together their best performance of the season, got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, happy official start to football season, fellas. Yeah. I thought maybe the Royals could just get us to training camp and we'd be able to take it from there. They got us through the bye week, so I mean,
that's pretty good.
I'm certainly willing to be gracious for what we've seen there. But yeah, this bye week has actually been interesting, and I think it's been at an interesting time for the Chiefs because they are in a spot where they have some retooling to do, where Andy Reid should be in there writing on the napkins or the whiteboard or trying to figure out what the little tweaks and iterations may be, because to your point, it hasn't been their best football, but they double up the Saints in prime time. They get a little extra time to tinker after that. I'm feeling pretty good about roughly 90% of this team, and that's just sort of the group that doesn't include the battered wide receivers, because something needs to happen there. I was bullish on Juju Smith-Schuster. I think I told you guys last week that it felt like, all right, there's going to be a role growing for him that I'm excited to see, but I don't think you should count on him putting up 7 for 130 every week. I don't think that's a three-peat strategy.
You don't think that you can just go about that? That's interesting. What about the strategy that is clearly no other team in the NFL has been studying like 1956 Yale game tape with four tight ends, and Andy's going to take the league by storm that way, because he will adjust in that capacity. And honestly, that was the part that impressed me the most. That worked really well. That was incredibly effective.
Yeah, and that is like one of the underrated things throughout all of football, is being able to win in different ways. And the Chiefs have shown that over the decade, you know, with Andy Reid, of having different turns in the offense to play to your strength, sort of minimize your weaknesses. But it's never been more evident than what we're seeing now, because obviously, this is a Super Bowl caliber team and a team that was planning to play one way this season. Now you get into this last game before the bye, the first game where you knew going in you wouldn't have Rashee Rice. And so then what's the plan? 27 carries for Kareem Hunt. I imagine telling yourself 2 months ago, just saying the phrase, even without the Chiefs, 27 carries for Kareem Hunt in prime time. I'd be like, wow, Alvin Kamara must have gotten hurt. Like, he's that, good for him, latching on with the Saints. I'm sorry, he what?
I would have actually more likely assumed that we actually invented a time machine and decided to watch old highlight tapes before I thought that Kareem Hunt was leading this team with 27 carries. I guess that's part of it. Alex and I earlier in the week said the same thing, where the excuse making around the league of like, well, we don't have this guy, or he's been a little dinged up, or, you know, the offseason got us. I'm like, what's your excuse? Because the Chiefs are without their number one and number two wide receiver, their number one running back. They lost their number two cornerback, and none of it has stopped them from having one of the league's best defenses and being 5-0.
I'm glad you mentioned the defense, because it is all of our inclinations, I think, to talk about the offense, because it's the thing that we can kind of understand a little better, and the thing where you know the injuries are impacting it in a certain way. But the defense to this point this season has been remarkable, and I've talked about this a little bit throughout the week. I think I mentioned this on Monday with Fesco and Dusty, but the fact that this defense right now appears to be firing on all cylinders isn't just amazing in light of them losing L'Jarius Sneed. And it is. The fact that Jalen Watson stepped in there and the defense still looks largely excellent, that's amazing, because L'Jarius Sneed's a great player, and he's a great player in Tennessee. Charvarius Ward is a great player in San Francisco. Those were not like smoke and mirrors things here. Those are legitimately excellent players in Kansas City. Now Jalen Watson seems to be on that track. Trent McDuffie's a top three corner in football, and I'm just saying top three because I don't want to argue 1, 2, 3, but yeah. I can argue all the way up that ladder. But the thing that's interesting now, guys, is that nobody who's getting significant snaps in this defense is in their first year in this defense. Jaden Hicks, we got excited about through training camp, and I think still rightfully so. I am in no way worried that he's not going to make the NFL transition. I just think it's going to be next year, probably without Justin Reed, when Hicks has an entire year of Spags meetings in his back pocket, when he knows why and what this defense does what it does. Right now, there's no typical Spags growing pains. Not that that was even a bad thing, but it's just a true thing, right? Week 1, 2, 3, 4, that defense in years past under Spags has been simpler. It hasn't had as many moving parts. It hasn't been as deceptive as what you see down the stretch, because that's when everybody's finally comfortable. I remember Justin Reed saying in his first year here, I think it was like week 12 or week 13, he Jeez. Later admitted in next year's camp, where he's like, yeah, I think it was like week 12 or week 13, I felt like I really kind of had a mastery of the defense loading. This entire unit has a mastery of the defense now. That's also overcoming no Charles Aminihou and relatively underwhelming starts for Mike Dana and George Karlaftis. They are exceeding expectations in so many of those ways, and I think it's large part because they kept the band together. It's really remarkable.
I'm glad you brought up Charles Aminihou. That's exactly where I was headed, because at one point in time, Josh, it felt like maybe the Raiders game at the end of this month would be a target date for him, but they haven't opened up the practice window yet. So do you think that that's just a sign of, hey, right now we know we're going to be playing 20 plus weeks of a season. We're going to be even more cautious with this? Or do you think there's maybe more to the story there with Charles Aminihou coming back from an ACL?
I believe our friend Nate Taylor has just begun to put the burner on simmer. Not quite bubbling yet. We're not boiling, but it does seem like they're still relatively on track that way. Right now with the bye, and they didn't worry about this with Clyde, which is interesting, but with the bye, it might make sense to not even open that window until you're back on the practice field getting ready for the Niners. Still, I think he'll need that full 21 days, and you don't want to pop that too early. So I would not be worried about it. It frankly, like, until maybe December, if he's not on the field, because the defense is thriving to this point, you really want to have a guy like that as healthy as possible for playoff games. And the Chiefs have the luxury right now of saying, yeah, we're getting by without you. Make sure that you are at maximum capacity later in the year. I think that's a reasonable, responsible thing to do here.
Let's not toss around a name for a wide receiver necessarily, but we know that in the next 3 weeks are essentially, the way I view it, the evaluation period of what does your receiver unit look like, especially against some let's call them tougher opponents, maybe like San Francisco coming up next week too. What is the style of wide receiver you think they're missing? So before we toss out a name, what is the type of wide receiver they're going to need?
It's such a funny question and a good question, because my answer and Andy Reid's answer are probably different. And that's just because of how Andy Reid stylistically, like, has his type. I've been joking that, like,
they're like 5 foot seven and run up 4'4".
It's not like 6'5" blue eyes finance. It's like, it's 5'9" 4'5" real fast. Like, it's anything under that. T. Higgins never made sense for Andy Reid, despite it was like, oh man, we're on that 32nd pick. I kind of. What I think that they need fundamentally is someone who can beat man coverage. So you've got Kelce and Juju, who are still like zone killing merchants. And Worthy can certainly beat man coverage, but we're trying to figure out exactly how much Patrick Mahomes wants to trust him, or where that relationship is right now. I have always wanted this offense to get a more traditional big body X receiver type. This isn't my trade fantasy here either, but every time we talk about DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, man, wouldn't it be cool to let Patrick Mahomes have a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins? And then Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes are like, no, just get me somebody really fast who can run open into space. So we can get into the names there if you'd like, but I have wanted to see them try to take a receiver like that. It's why Justin Ross has stuck around as a concept, because they just don't have anybody else quite like him. But I think that's partially purposeful. Either it's just a value thing that the Chiefs have identified, or really it is stylistically what Reed likes to scheme up and what Mahomes likes to throw to. Andy Reid loves to get guys open releases into space downfield. Mahomes loves to hit guys opening up into a window, or just finding that little gap that real speed can open. So I think they're going to continue to try to double down on that stylistically, despite the fact that I think this offense could use a unique type of receiver.
One thing we note is, even before the Rashee Rice injury, 43% of the time they were already using multiple tight end sets. That increased with the Rice injury. That opening drive of the game against New Orleans, I thought, was one of their best drives of the entire season. It was balanced. Yeah, they used Kareem Hunt, but also what? Travis Kelce had a catch or two. Noah Gray, Fortson, I think, had a catch or two. Jody Fortson was involved. Is that just what we're going to see here for a while?
Jody Fortson caught a pass before a wide receiver did in that game. I have loved Jody Fortson since Valdosta State, and I didn't think that was going to be the direction that we headed. I don't think it's going to be exactly that. I do kind of think that the Saints game was a survive in advance, and then we'll do some self-scouting in the bye. I think we should see more of that. Noah Gray is, like, almost literally always a 52% player. He's played 52% of the offensive snaps each of the last two seasons on average, like, individually, not just total. That is exactly how often they use him. We saw a little uptick against the Saints, and I think that he's an interesting sort of chain mover. I'm always happy to see Noah Gray get the football on third down. I'm never nervous when the ball's in midair and it's heading to 83. So I'm good with that. I'm good with bringing out bigger bodies, and Fortson included, who had a relatively small role. But he had more snaps than Mecole Hardman and Sky Moore did. I think that's a good thing. Have your 14 personnel with four guys who can go catch the football. I'm intrigued to see the logical conclusion of that, and I do think it presents a little bit of a matchup problem for opposing defenses. Not quite in the, like, Kyle Juszczyk 49ers sense, which obviously they'll see next week, but it does change some of the math of what you can do as an offense. And if you're a defense preparing for the Chiefs, now you've got to be ready for the fact that they may put four tight ends out there with Kareem Hunt in the backfield and just try to treat the game that way, knowing that, again, all those tight ends and Hunt can all catch the football.
I might be misreading this, Briscoe, so this will be my last question for you. As someone who at least has worn enough eyeliner in their life to maybe deal in the macabre, would you take your kids to the World's of Fun Halloween Hunt if they're 6 and 8?
I have been thinking about potentially going to the World's of Fun Halloween Hunt for the first time myself.
Wow, okay.
I'm not a scary movie guy. I don't really love the spooks and scares. Renee always wants to throw a Halloween party. We dress up, and I like the Halloween season. I don't really want to be scarred that way. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take your kids. If you're like, hey, Josh, can you babysit? What would you do? I would not be like, we're going to go scare these children. I would not want that on my hands.
But they're my kids, right? So, like, In the end, it's only me that's responsible.
Right, yeah, but the trauma is yours both at the inception and to deal with. I don't know. I mean, you know him better than I do, but I don't know. Is the Tapp family just built different?
We're not, like, I don't know. Like, my parents didn't really stop us. So, like, I saw Stephen King's It when I was, like, 7. So, like, they didn't really block that stuff from us as kids, and I'm mostly well-adjusted. Mostly.
I think, Cody, if you want your kids to turn out like you, you go ahead and take them.
Next week, when we have Briscoe on, he promises to give us the lowdown on why Dennis Quaid was at the Chiefs game as well. He's working on that. That's what we have him on the show. Thanks, Briscoe.
Appreciate you guys. Don't take your kids. Or do, and then send the video.
That seems to be the consensus. Either don't take your children, but if you do, make sure that the rest of us get something out of it.
That's Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, the editor over on ChiefsOnSI.com. No, seriously, does anybody know why Dennis Quaid was at the Chiefs game? Just the place to be now?
Is he
just the place to be, you know? Just want to be part of that?
He wasn't just at the game. He was sitting in press conferences.
Yeah, he was.
Wait, he was sitting in a press conference?
Yeah, but we've seen that. Yeah, same reason, like, you know, Stone Street and these other celebrities have sat in on the press conference before.
He was listening to Juju's and couldn't take his eyes off him. He was, like, laser focused on what Juju was saying post game.
The way you phrased that was weird, but basically.
It sounds like the whole reason they're changing all these rules about availability. Quaid's way too into it.
I'm saying what people were observing. He was locked in and focused to whatever Juju was saying post game.
I got you. No, Dennis Quaid was there, though. I don't know. Cool. More people that want to, you know, come to Arrowhead, come to Kansas City, the better.
I guess I'm just, yeah.
Dennis Quaid.
He has nothing to do with Kansas City. Like, he's not from here. He's not.
I don't know why. He's from Houston. So he was born in Houston. I don't know. So they were not playing the Texans. So
maybe
he's
just pals with Andy?
With all the acting stuff now, maybe, who knows? Travis, who knows? I mean,
got a lot of commercials. Andy's been in like 3 now commercials with Travis. He's getting him a regular check. I guess the interesting part is he was both in the interview room and then he was in the locker room just listening.
Oh, he's in the locker room too?
He's a huge Astros fan. Like, he's a huge Houston Astros fan. So he went to Cleveland Brown. He was in the Ernie Davis story movie many, many years ago. And we went to Brown Stadium to dedicate a jersey, I guess. So
he's probably just Boys with the Hunt.
Is there another movie coming out? We just don't know.
All of a sudden, we're going to have a box with Taylor Swift, and then another box with just a bunch of random celebrities who are just showing up to the game.
We're going to find out.
Zach Galifianakis is going to show up randomly and just hang.
We're going to find out in 3 years. There's some football movie Dennis Quaid is in, and he was just doing a little research.
He's going to play Andy Reid in a football movie?
Yeah. They'll ask me. I'll be an extra in that one, too.
I'll tell you right now. He still somehow would look like a better casting than the time they casted Kevin James to be Sean Payton. Because that was one of the worst casting jobs I've ever seen in my life. That one never made any sense. I don't know. We'll see. I guess, you know, maybe Taylor Swift's just going to bring more people, like you said, to Chiefs games.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping she was going to be at the Royals games. I'm sure Major League Baseball was hoping for that, too.
They would have loved that. They absolutely would have loved that.
Trash of the day.
That one always wakes me up. That one's just very loud, right in the headset. That one always wakes me up pretty good there.
I have to apologize because I turned it up a little. I turned it up a little bit high. I'm sorry.
We're good, man. All right, let's go to Washington State for this one. No, not college football, Drew. Actual state here. We're not talking about the university.
I perked up for a second.
Yeah, not the Cougars. No, no. It just happens in Washington State, where sheriff deputies frequently get calls about animals, you know, loose livestock or dogs. But there was an unusual one. They had a 911 call. A woman was being hounded by dozens of raccoons swarming her home. She reportedly had to flee her home. 50 to 100 raccoons descended upon her home, and they were attacking aggressively. She told deputies she started... Here's the problem. Here we go. She started feeding a family of raccoons decades ago, and it was fine until 6 weeks earlier when a number kept growing and from a handful to around 100. You feed 5 raccoons, they're all showing up.
You never feed a raccoon.
They're all showing up.
They're bringing their cousins,
brothers, sisters.
Well,
I just started feeding that one mouse in my house. I didn't realize that 400 others would want to be here.
Mm-hmm. They were becoming more aggressive, demanding food that would hound her day and night. They would scratch on the outside of her home at the door. She pulled up her car. They would surround the car, scratch the car, surround her if she went from her front door to her car, went outside. They all saw this as a food source. Of course they did. What a disastrous mistake. What do you do? They keep coming back. And obviously animal control is one thing, but they're going to keep coming back or warn other ones. Like now you got to move.
You got to be like that person who we haven't seen in a long time who used to release all these animals, these squirrels out on the backside of the studio. Remember, there's like a little outer road. And these is a guy about once a week who'd come with like a couple of caged squirrels and traps of animals. And he'd let them out into this not even wooded area. There's like five trees in between like Shawnee Mission Parkway and Metcalf.
You'd have to move, I feel like. Or sell your house and like you gotta disclose that. Why we just bought this house and there's a ton of raccoons that just keep showing up?
Honest to God, I think you can't sue them. Like, look, I don't know that that's in a normal disclosure. Like, we have basement flooding issues, hope you know. But you better tell me about a wild pack of raccoons that are constantly attacking my house because you fed them a bunch.
What are you feeding raccoons? Just scraps or what?
I guess you just get traps, man.
I don't know.
Traps or a BB gun? I mean, I don't want to be like a jerk about it, but I
just want to pick off all 50 one by one.
If raccoons are invading my house, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, you know? At some point, I got to draw a line.
Like, I'm assuming you've put out trash curbside before, and you've had maybe one tips over, and you've had a raccoon or something get in your trash if you had it outside.
I haven't had raccoon issues much. Okay. We used to have possums over in Waldo a little bit.
Shouldn't you, like, know going into it? Like, you're trying to be nice, sure, and feed them, but shouldn't you know that is a possible outcome?
Yes.
How creepy would
that's
that be?
Vermin
pull into your driveway and there's like 60 raccoons scratching at your car. I would think the apocalypse is about to start.
I'd be like, is a tidal wave coming
Our
Chiefs contributor, by the way, got to the end of it. Quaid recently filmed a sports film, The Long Game, and is working on the Lamar Hunt story.
There we go.
About the creation of the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Texans, who became the Kansas City Chiefs.
Makes sense. So it was
he
for a movie.
He must be playing Lamar Hunt. So there you go.
Thank you, Josh. That's why he's our Chiefs contributor. I knew he'd get. I was going to wait till next week.
He found that information super quick.
Two Chiefs movies coming out then.
A lot of people on the text line are going further than me. They're like, just get a shotgun. They're not even going the BB gun route. They're like, I'm going to send a message to one raccoon that the rest of you are not welcome here, apparently.
So it says game warden says to shoot them. That's from the game warden. Says shoot them, way too many raccoons.
Who am I to turn down the game warden?
Yeah, the game warden says to do it, you do it.
But that means I have to go to the store and buy a shotgun, too. And how much are shells?
I figured you just had a bunch of them already in your home. You strike me as someone that would have a ton of them.
A lot of shotguns?
Yeah.
The imagery of you.
I don't even have a gun, let alone miniguns, to necessitate a rack.
Cody, imagining you pulling into the driveway and just standing there in your driveway waiting with like a shotgun to take out.
Cody's wearing a tank top.
Yeah, I mean.
Just waiting for the raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
This guy.
So the BB gun will just make the raccoons laugh. Won't do anything.
Okay. I don't know.
Don't die easily, according to our raccoon expert. I told you the text line. Everybody's an expert on something. You just never know on the text line.
Raccoons are the kind of animal that looks friendly, but you know is mean as hell. Like they look so like
they look friendly.
Well, they just look like you're like, oh look, it's like a weirdo teddy bear. You're like, that's kind of nice.
Maybe a squirrel, not a raccoon. Right, a squirrel, I'll kind of give you. Raccoon, I don't know, man. Anyway, 913-586-7965. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour here on the show. Let's talk about one thing that has not changed for the Chiefs, and it's probably not going to change. And I'm not just talking about them winning football games.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explain that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. That's right. It is a bye week, though, so we'll have to wait till next week in San Francisco to hear the Chiefs right back here on 96.5, The Fan. Although on Monday, we'll be back on a normal schedule with Chiefs, meaning Monday you'll hear Andy Reid exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5, The Fan. The only place on a Monday at noon that you hear from Andy Reid is right here during Cody and Gold. So that is a normal week next week for the Kansas City Chiefs. I do want to talk about one thing that happened a year ago, and of course, some people would just say, well, it didn't matter. They won the Super Bowl. But it is interesting to see again, which is...
That's last year, year to year.
The Chiefs are 30th in red zone touchdown percentage. But they're 14th in points. Now, last year... They were 14th in points last year, though. And we all know how the offense looked, which is why we have said, hey, you know, this offense is right now looking like it's going to be very similar to a year ago. With that said, I think there was some promising signs this past week against the Saints. I mean, they moved the ball. Did they not?
They
moved the ball against New Orleans. And then there was the ball batted up in the air on the Juju Smith-Schuster slant, which should have been a touchdown. And then all of a sudden it changes that. Think about that. They very easily... And I know we said this last year. Very easily could have had 34, 36 points in that game.
They are worse than they were last year at scoring in the red zone. Last year, in touchdown percentage in the red zone, they scored at 51%. And I will always admit with the Chiefs that I don't think that they're going to rank number one in that category, because a lot of times I think they just get more opportunities to score than most teams. So more chances equals more chances for failure, all the things that kind of come with that pretty consistently. But for a team that made 51% of their red zone trip touchdowns last year, they are down to 38%. 38. That's unacceptable. We thought last year was bad, Gold. And now they are the bottom team in the league other than this is the company you keep, by the way. New England is dead last at 30%. Miami, who has been lifeless since Tua went down, at 36%. The other teams in the bottom 10, Atlanta's kind of surprising. But then Giants, Denver, Jacksonville. I mean, these sound like good offenses to you? These have been wretched teams. Now, like, I get it. They can fight some of the trends, and they're 5-0, and they can do some things different than other teams can do. But if they're going to three-peat, which is the conversation we really want to have here, this won't work. You know, we were just talking about the Royals, and we said, hey, if they're going to win this game against the Yankees tonight, they're actually going to need 2-3-4 to hit in the lineup. They're going to need Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi to contribute to the offense. I feel the exact same way about the Reds and scoring. If they're going to win their third straight Super Bowl, they can't be like this in the red zone for the remainder of the season. This is far too low.
The key part, that last part, you said remainder of the season. How about remainder of the regular season? Because we saw this last year. All of a sudden, now you can say you're playing with fire and like, hey, the chances of it happening. But last year, all of a sudden, what, second to last week of the season, things started to click. Offensive line play improved. Defense kept playing at a high level. Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs played at a much higher level than he did in the regular season, and the rest is history. They went on the road with the exception of the wild card round. We all know it. And they won the Super Bowl out in Las Vegas against San Francisco. So I hear you. I get it. They can't play that way all year and win the Super Bowl? Sure, I think by the playoffs is what we're talking about. Can they get it right by the playoffs? Because they did last year. In the playoffs last year, they didn't look like the team that was scoring 14 points per.
They also, you know, had Rashee Rice. I understand that, but I mean,
this still all goes back to the rest of the AFC conversation that we've had multiple times already, which is like, Okay. Who's going to be the team that you're actually fearful of? Maybe people will start to talk themselves into Baltimore again. They've won, what is it, three in a row, two in a row? They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Bills, and they just beat Cincy, obviously.
Yep.
And so they get the Commanders this weekend. All of a sudden, the Ravens could win four in a row, and their two losses would be to what? Kansas City and the Raiders.
The Raiders one will never make any sense. But
you know, so I think that's the answer if they start looking good. But other than that, man, everybody's flawed. Everybody has their issues. Like, it's just very hard for me to think that, oh, man, if they don't get this corrected, they can't win the Super Bowl. I think they have to be better in that area. But it doesn't look like right now in the AFC with the way everybody is playing that there's any team where you're like, man, you got to have an A-plus game or you're losing.
No.
You can win any game right now in the AFC without playing your A game. That's just the reality of how down the product is currently.
I think that's true because the Chiefs, again, did not play their A game and beat the Baltimore Ravens. From the 8-1-6, aren't the Saints number one in red zone defense? Last week's opponent, they are, actually.
There you go.
So the Saints do have the number one red zone defense in the league, one of their previous opponents. They also, who else have they played? I can tell you where they rank. I'm looking at Pittsburgh is number three in red zone defense so far in the NFL. Pittsburgh has one of the number one defenses in the league. They're number three in red zone defense. Who am I missing now? Ravens, Baltimore. 25th. They stink in red zone defense. Cincinnati is 25th, tied with Baltimore in red zone defense. So some of this is an opponent because you can be like, well, they faced a couple of pretty good red zone defenses. They've also faced a couple of horrible red zone defenses. But I will say, scored more points against... They have played Cincinnati.
No, the Steelers. You mentioned the Steelers. They'll play them later.
Sorry, that was the one I was getting confused on. They have played Cincinnati, and they have played Baltimore. Those teams they actually scored a little bit better against. Like, the teams they scored a little bit better against are the teams that they typically were up against, at least in the red zone scoring department. Atlanta's about league average, in case you're curious. And San Francisco's about league average, the team they're getting ready to face. I go back through, and honestly, here's the problem with this year versus last year is, it actually makes even less sense this year. You're like, but how? They're missing Rashee Rice. They're missing Hollywood Brown. They are the number one most effective running game in the NFL right now. So you don't have to be like tinker-toeing down here or nonsense. You should, with, again, the best interior line in the NFL and the number one most efficient running game in the NFL, be able to, and hear me out here, run it in.
I know, but this is a lot of the same conversation last year.
I know, but like now they're more efficient, I guess, is part of it. They're more efficient, same offensive line, better tight ends probably as a unit, more experienced. They're more used to playing in big sets. And look, maybe this is they just don't have a red zone target. Because it's Travis Kelce, then who would you throw to the red zone second?
Right now, it's probably Juju. Yeah, it's got to be.
Okay, well, that's not great. But also, like, that's the whole, like...
I mean, look who they threw the pass to. I know it was batted up in the air. He should have caught it. But, like, who was targeted on that play? It was Juju Smith-Schuster.
They had a red zone touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, so I think Juju for sure... This also goes back to why I think we've all acknowledged. Over the next couple of weeks, I don't care how great Juju looks, they still need to go and get a wide receiver to help them with said issue that we're discussing here, which is the red zone.
This might be why DeAndre Hopkins is such a great fit. DeAndre Hopkins plays the X, a position that they're completely missing right now. He can beat a guy in man coverage, something they desperately need right now. He is absolutely a red zone target. There is no argument on the other side of that. Now, I would say Amari Cooper also fits this bill.
And he's hell of a lot cheaper than DeAndre Hopkins, who will remind you, this year, yes, it'll be prorated, but $18 million is what you're looking at for D-Hop.
Amari Cooper, I think this is the first time I've seen a public report that's actually acknowledging their willingness to do it versus people just speculating. Ari Myrov, maybe an hour ago, had said that the Browns will look to move Amari Cooper. He's making it sound like a report. Look to move Amari Cooper if the losing continues. Well, I got
going to continue.
Good news, Cleveland fans. If you were looking to trade Amari Cooper or you're a team wanting to trade for it, pretty sure the losing is going to continue with Cleveland. That is, you and I have watched sports a long time. We're going to continue to cover sports. I don't think, not only do I think it is the worst transaction in sports history, I think it's going to go down in my lifetime is the single worst set of transactions in sports history. Not NFL, not Major League Baseball. They traded for a man. They gave him $240 million guaranteed. They've never won. All those picks turned into CJ Stroud and every other great player imaginable. I mean, you could not have done worse.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson,
with that transaction.
Deshaun Watson is absolutely horrific on the football field and off the football field. It's one of the worst trades we're going to see in our entire lifetime. I think that's pretty clear.
I think you bringing up DeAndre Hopkins is, I know that one's been brought up, but I was thinking about it as you guys were talking, and in the red zone, we don't traditionally see we know the Mahomes is capable of making this throw, but the Aaron Rodgers back shoulder, run a flat, and I'm going to throw the ball where only you can
it's
catch
not
it.
Their offense very often. That's the other thing.
I think that that's something that Mahomes is capable enough of doing it. I know that Andy, he might have to veer off of what he typically does, but that's a throw that Patrick Mahomes is capable of making, and it is one that's really difficult to defend if you have the wide receiver who can
say you got to have the trust. You got to have the trust of the receiver
too.
You
need a guy like a DeAndre Hopkins or Amari Cooper could do the same thing where you can trust that he's going to run the right route, properly position himself where you can make that throw and not throw a pick six.
No doubt. I also think it's fair. 913-586-7965. Someone points out too, when we're discussing the red zone issues, and yeah, they had it last year as well. And you're like, hey, they got a good running game. Why is it still a problem in the red zone? Let's be honest. What we just discussed yesterday about the MVP situation for Mahomes, he's the favorite, but number wise, 6 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's acknowledged it. He has not been great. He's coming off his best game, but he has not been sharp. That also has led to some of the issues in the red zone. So it all goes hand in hand. The beautiful thing, as I'll say over and over when we're discussing these issues, which they are, the team's 5-0. They're winning while they're trying to sort it out. There's a lot of teams that are not winning while they're trying to sort it out. And this franchise under this regime has a track record of figuring it out when it matters most. I do think there's absolute truth to the playing with their food until the playoffs. I absolutely think that is a thing.
I wouldn't say, I think it's the right idea, but it's the wrong way to describe it. I do not think the Chiefs are saving things for the playoffs, right? I don't think Andy Reid has some secret ancient book he blows the dust off like in a Halloween movie, right? And then unlocks only the good plays now. But I think what actually happens, Gold, is what you're describing, which is he takes 17 games, 18 weeks, as an evaluation to try to figure out what works. And by the time he gets to the postseason, he's done with the I was trying to see if this would work and it didn't. And he just sticks to the stuff that did. He's done manipulating or trial and erroring or messing with the chemistry, trying to figure out the perfect formula. And instead he's like, what are the 40 things that work for this team? I'm just going to do that now. The rest of it was just trying to figure out what the 40 things are. But now that we figured out what the 40 things are, we do well. I'm probably just going to do that the rest of the way now. But, I mean, this is even worse than last year. They were 19th in red zone touchdown percentage. They went to the red zone 9 times in that last game against the Saints and only scored 2 touchdowns. They had tons of opportunities. Now, do you feel a lot better if it's 3 for 9 and Juju catch that ball? And 4 for 9, you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, it is so funny how razor-thin the margin is. 9 trips to the red zone is amazing. That's why we thought it was the best game they've played all year. I can't even imagine how I'd feel if they converted 2 more of those to touchdowns and dropped 34.
Well, that's why they were, very easily could have been at 34, 36. I'm just remembering, literally, these are things we said last year. It's funny to me just because a lot of this is
a
not
year to year's different.
A lot of this.
Know?
No, I'm just saying the red zone issues that this is the exact same conversation we were having last year, and come playoff time for a variety of reasons, it all came together. I know you're saying, well, they got better because of Rashee Rice. That is fair. I'm saying they can get better because they go trade for a wide receiver because maybe there's a prayer out there that Hollywood Brown comes back late, not Rice, but Hollywood Brown. Maybe I'm not banking on it, but there's still a chance. He's the only guy in Pacheco too. Let's not forget about him.
He will come
back. Will be coming back. And Pacheco for sure. Brown is still probably a toss-up whether or not he's coming back week 16 or 15 or something like that. We just don't know.
Look, I'm probably going to get laughed at for asking this.
Oh, boy.
But since we're talking about the Chiefs, and you mentioned last year, and the same things that kind of apply in the division, this weekend, the Chargers and the Broncos play each other.
They do.
And as it sat right now, this very second, 5 weeks into the season, if the playoffs were to start just like incredibly early for just no reason,
Uh-huh.
If the playoffs were to start incredibly early for just no reason, three teams out of the AFC West would be in the postseason. Chiefs would be the number one seed. The 6 and 7 seeds would be the Broncos and the Chargers. Is the AFC West tougher than we thought?
What is it, like the AL Central?
Those are two different. So those are two different things. Do I think they're actually going to have three teams? No. Do I think that the Broncos have been scrappy and more competitive? Yes. Do I think that the Chargers, the first 3 weeks of the season showed that? Yes. Do I think the Chargers are coming back down to earth? Their schedule was soft early. That also is true. The only difference I'll say from how I evaluated this division so far that's changed for me is I'll give Sean Payton and the Broncos credit to this point. They are a bigger pain in the ass than I thought they would be for every team they're going to play this year. Right? I think that's fair. We watch them. You know, Bo Nix has been average, but also at the same time, he hasn't made the same mistakes I thought he would make. Right? And so therefore, they're in these games. They're more competitive. The Raiders change quarterbacks every quarter, so I don't think the Raiders will factor in.
They had an open quarterback competition in the middle of the season.
And the Chargers, I still just think they're way too thin. We talked about this preseason. I think it still applies. They don't have enough horses there. Next year, they could be a problem. But this year, I don't believe they'll do that. The odds will tell you the Broncos are +154 to make the playoffs. The Chargers +136.
I'm actually surprised the Chargers are a bigger favorite because the Chargers have played two winning teams right now, the Steelers and the Chiefs, and mustered up 10 whole points a game against those two defenses. As in, they weren't really in those games significantly. Do you know who their two wins are against? The Raiders and the Panthers. You want to talk about the least impressive resume on the planet? Mm. It's that one. If your only two wins are against two future top five picks in the NFL draft.
Cincinnati has the worst resume.
Well, they only have one win.
Yeah, against Carolina.
So it's
they're 0-3 in the AFC.
So they would somehow have a worse resume.
It's tiebreaker wise, but they're in trouble. That.
For those who haven't been watching the Broncos, they lost a close one to Seattle. Seattle's a tough one to figure out. They reek of like old Jeff Fisher 8-8 days, right? Where they're going to be 9-8 or 8-9, and they're going to beat some good teams, and they're going to lose some to good teams. They're going to beat some bad teams. They're going to lose to some bad teams. And at the end, they're just going to be .500. Mm-hmm. The Broncos lost to the Seahawks and then lost to the Steelers to open the season in a close one. But then they kicked the Buccaneers' ass.
That was really impressive.
Managed to scratch out a 70-yard passing performance win against the Jets. That was not impressive. And then kicked the Raiders' ass. So, I'm not blown away. They got one win where I'm like, wow, you did it. And then the other two wins are like, okay, I'll talk to you in a few weeks. But the one thing the Broncos have going for them, at home against the Chargers, winnable. On the road against the Saints, don't know if it's Spencer Rattler starting. At home against the Panthers? I mean, before their schedule takes a little bit before it gets, then it's Ravens, Chiefs, Falcons, but they've got a few games where they could build up some wins if they keep playing the football.
If you look at other teams around them, though, to be honest, so I thought at first it's a vehement, there's no way. If you look at the other teams around them, though, the Jets, we have no idea about right now.
Who are they a bigger favorite to make the postseason than either of those teams?
The Jets have better odds to still make the playoffs. Yes.
So they're one spot out right now. Then it's the Raiders. Question marks, the Dolphins, don't have a quarterback. The Colts, defense stinks. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, don't have a quarterback. Yeah. Cleveland has Deshaun Watson. I mean, the Bengals are 1-4. There's legitimately a chance. I give it more of a shot, actually, after looking at the standings for both Denver and the Chargers to actually make it. Because there's a lot of questions about
both
everybody else.
I think there's a chance one of them finds a way into your point about how weak the AFC is. I think one of them, I still find it hard to believe that both, because remember, they both still have to play Kansas City. And I know the Chiefs didn't sweep the division last year, but there's a decent chance, right, that the Broncos and Chargers at minimum have two more losses coming directly from the Chiefs.
So if you were to say one's in, one's out, what team replaces them? Is it the Jets? Do the Jets get in? Do the Bengals somehow find a way to turn it around? Do you think the Colts come back? That's what I'm getting at is, after looking at the standings, who do you think replaces them, actually?
How long does Joe Flacco start for him? Because my answer might be the Colts.
That defense is terrible, though, is the problem for the Colts.
I would say, of course, the Bengals potentially. Unless they lose to the Giants this weekend. But I don't know if there's anybody else you can say, yeah, I have confidence.
Maybe if Tua comes back, they could be a postseason team if Tua comes back.
You think so?
They're only one game out. I'm only saying this. If this were a normal playoff year in which I thought the depth all the way down to 7 was good, I wouldn't even be entertaining this conversation. Similar to when I said I wouldn't be entertaining Drew's Bengals having any chance to make it. But the bottom of the AFC is weak.
The Dolphins, the tricky thing, the question with them will be, okay, so they're on a bye. They come back. If Tua's back week 8, and if he can make it the rest of the season,
probably then.
One, just for his own health, but like make it the rest of the season without getting hurt again. Then I think the Dolphins, we know they have the talent. They just have looked. The only thing that scared me about the Dolphins is I thought their head coach would still be able to make them look somewhat decent on offense. But if Tua's back and he's healthy the rest of the way, I think the answer might be that it's the Dolphins. It's just, I got to know, and we don't know, is Tua going to come back and play the rest of the year, or is Tua playing for like 3 weeks and then unfortunately there's another issue? Because yeah. then they're done.
Well, yeah, because then they got to go back to Tyler Huntley for the
rest
of
the season. I would still, right this second, I would still bet that's more likely the Dolphins make the playoffs than the Denver Broncos. You guys disagree with that?
I agree with
that. I think it's tough to say just because we don't. I think it's tough just because Tua's not playing. We don't know.
Fair.
I think that's
you know, what's funny enough about the reason why Denver's winning is not because Bo Nix is some superstar rookie quarterback. Their defense and the way that they play defense is really good. Their defensive coordinator has done an excellent job.
No, you all told me Tua sucked. Now you guys know how valuable he is.
I just know he's better than Tyler Huntley.
For the seventh spot in the AFC.
We're talking about for the seventh wild card spot. And yeah, the conversation was, is he a top 10 quarterback? The answer is no. Not is he better than Snoop Huntley, Tim Boyle, or Skylar Thompson.
Because he is better than those guys. I'm very
confident.
He is,
yes.
He's just a league average quarterback. He's 15 or 16th. But if you go from league average quarterback to the 40th best guy in the league, well then, yeah. He does have tremendous value, if that's the case. Yeah, Denver's defense is what's really surprised. Pat Surtain is a absolute monster back there. And so that part of it is what actually stands out.
The second.
All you need to know about the Colts defense, by the way, is Trevor Lawrence almost threw for 400 yards, only had 6 completions, and Tank Bigsby ran for over 100. Joe Flacco almost had 400 yards passing, and they lost.
I've been buying Tank Bigsby stock for like 2 years. Time! Starting to cash.
We had Charch on the show yesterday. Fantasy football wise, he was like the number one waiver wire pickup.
Charch was on him last year, I think, as a rookie.
That's what
we both were.
Yeah, yeah.
I drafted him last year, then I drafted him 2 more times in my 4 leagues this year. And I've just been sitting. I almost thought about cutting him. And then all of a sudden, he's good again. Well, he'd probably go back to get like 27 yards this week. That's how fantasy football works. It'll be him and Garetto, right? I mean, those will be the 2 big pickups.
Yeah, for the Niners.
Whoever the new Niners running back is.
Isaac Garendo. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Garendo.
Garendo.
Yeah.
Former Wisconsin guy.
And I'm sure he'll look great because that run scheme, it makes just about anybody look great.
Yeah.
The only thing they lose is McCaffrey receiving aspect. Like, none of those guys can catch the ball the way.
That's why it's harder for them to win, but they still get
wins. He just went on IR, right? He's not like done.
McCaffrey?
Yes. No, just waiting.
Achilles tendonitis, November is what they're saying. We'll see. November. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Pass.
Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll get you caught up on some other injuries. A big injury update out of New York with the Giants and their wide receiver, Malik Nabers. We'll also get right back into the Royals and what this season has done for the future of that organization.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal? supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.